We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Back to the guys, Gresh and Keith on WEEI. Covering an uncharacteristically aggressive Patriots offseason.
The Patriots are going to be extremely and uncharacteristically aggressive in this offseason.
It's time for Tuesday.
He sells it pretty good that he knows everything. Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston, brought to us by Zuti. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. And by Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Tommy Kern at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Tommy, good afternoon. How are you, friend?
What's up, my guys? How you been?
Pretty good. Loving that Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills seem to be just, I don't know, cracking from the inside out. Tommy, I know we have the results of the game to talk about, but I'm curious for your thoughts on the reaction of not only multiple Bills players, but also the Bills head coach to the loss to the Patriots.
I think it really encapsulates what Western New York has felt for 20 years. I mean, they've been pushing the rock up the hill. Finally, Brady's gone. They think that they're going to plant the flag at the top of the division and be there for a while. And then they have a game that comes on their home turf, which exposes them and everything they built is being built on sand. I mean, I think Sean McDermott fancies himself a tough guy, a tough-minded guy, and the culture that he instilled there was one of physical toughness, but their mental toughness to me and the way they're imploding and sniping and, you know, McDermott's going after Daboll a little bit and the players are cracking when they're asked aggressive but defensible questions. It just shows that it's extremely difficult to keep all your buttons buttoned when it gets ugly.
I mean, as the game was unfolding, of course, it was just one pass attempt in the first half and then three for the game. But as it's going on, Tom, we know that, you know, when it's been a passing game, they pass. And then when it's a running game, they will more than run. But in all the years you've covered the team, this was the most extreme. Did you think they were going to break from that at some point? Because I know in the fourth quarter there were a few times that watching it at home, I'm like, all right, here's a play action. And nope, they just continued to run it the entire game.
Yeah, no, I felt that they might, especially when they got the wind and they had, you know, gamed that up perfectly. But I still think that they felt as if it had – and Ted Johnson, I thought, articulated this really well in our postgame – didn't have anything to do with Mac Jones, or it didn't have much to do with Mac Jones or the ability to throw. It had to do with, or the Patriots' ability to throw. It had to do with whether or not they believed the Bills were going to put points together. And, you know, Belichick told me once after a game against the Raiders where the Patriots won, I think it was in 2013, and Vince came up with a pick. There was never a point when they felt disarmed or as if they were going to be in a position where they didn't have control of the game. And he said, you know, we could have left them out there on the field for the rest of the day and they wouldn't have scored. And I think the Patriots kind of felt the same way about Buffalo.
Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston with Gresh and Keith. He's joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. I'm glad you threw the caveat in there about Mac, because that was going to be one of my questions as to, you know, were the handcuffs on too tight in terms of Mac Jones? But this team's ability to run the football, Tommy, I know we live in an era of football where it's like, the run game doesn't matter. Kind of feels like that this year in the playoffs, running the ball and stopping the run are going to be paramount to whichever two teams get to the Super Bowl. Agree or disagree?
Oh, I definitely agree. And I think basically it's because we all in the media and in our jobs now live on social media and Twitter, and that we feed our content maw with analytics about football. And so much of the people doing analytics get numbers driven and stat based to the point where they're humping the stats and not paying attention to what's occurring on the field. The 2017 Super Bowl was won in large part because the Philadelphia Eagles were able to run the ball against the Patriots and not be stopped. The Patriots won the 2018 Super Bowl because of how they ran the ball. The Super Bowl was won by the Buccaneers last year because the two finalists in the AFC, Buffalo and then Kansas City in the Super Bowl, couldn't protect up front. It's all offensive line, and largely it's about running game. So, yeah, Andy, I mean, we all like to get giddy about fourth down and who's aggressive and what the analytics say about who's more conservative and less conservative and EPAs and throws over. It really is not as complicated in this sport as people like to make it seem. There's a hell of a lot of more gray area than people really believe.
It's, you know, looking at all the teams in the AFC, there are so many that are separated by a game or just two games. It feels like every team is flawed, but do you feel as though the Patriots have a fatal flaw?
No, the Patriots are the least flawed team. They are the most trustworthy team. They haven't had any of these wildly bizarre results, even the 28-13 loss to New Orleans, that was still a forming Patriots team, that had a pick six involved in it that, you know, the New Orleans Saints benefited from. So even that wasn't a blowout. We've seen the 9-6 loss for the Bills to Jacksonville. We've seen Tennessee stub its toe against the Texans and the Jets. So every team out there has had a weird result, and the Patriots are the only ones who have it. And I think it's in large part because of their balance, but it's also because of their coaching and their adaptability. That was what was on display Monday night, was Bill Belichick saying, okay, we're going to play this way because this is how the game is going to go. Josh, make sure you call it this way. Yep, no problem. I know how to do that because I've been doing it for a long time. And the Bills were trying to figure out, okay, what kind of game is this going to be? How do we do it? And they spent the entire night trying to figure it out. When Sean McDermott is talking about field position and taking over at his own 40 yeah. and red zone trips, he's missing the point. A red zone trip in gale force winds is not a conventional red zone trip because the red zone starts at the 5, mm-hmm. not at the 20 when you're going into the wind, in my estimation.
Tommy, why do you think McDermott seemed to take this so personal? It's almost like he was either offended that Belichick was going to get so much credit, or maybe deep down he knows his football team is in some trouble.
Probably deep down he feels as if his team is constructed in a way that shouldn't play, that they shouldn't put this type of product on the field. I mean, anytime, and you know, this Gresh, you love the trench warfare talk. This was emasculating. And the Patriots just lining up and running it and lining up and running it. And McDermott has been all about serving the Patriots a comeuppance. We should never forget the way that McDermott yelled at Brian Belichick and another Patriots staffer a few years ago for being too close to their sideline.
Oh, I forgot about
yeah.
that.
Nice.
He wants to stand up to the Patriot bully. He yeah. wants to show them that there's no doormat out there in Western New York. And the Patriots marched over their stomachs all night long. And I think that was purpose-driven as well. They could have thrown it 8 times. They could have thrown it 12 times. But I think there was a purpose being served, too, by throwing it so infrequently.
Yeah, I mean, I look at McDermott, and then even what he said about his return guys, and he had different return guys that day, and then Isaiah McKenzie responded on Twitter because he was the one that was inactive, and he was like, damn. Like, I just wonder, and because they've been ping-ponging wins and losses for the last 7 weeks, are they all of a sudden going to start to, I don't know, doubt themselves a little bit more or pick sides in there? Because it seems like things went pretty well for him last season. Things were going pretty well for him through 5 weeks this season. But now, I don't know, it doesn't seem, I know Gresh started the conversation this way, but it doesn't seem super stable right now up there.
No, guys are cracking.
Yeah.
And they're cracking with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, bearing down on them. And it's really, I mean, we've seen it writ large, the number of teams the Patriots have undone in Super Bowls, whether it be, the Seattle Seahawks or the Falcons. We've also seen the Jets, who were well-constructed in the 2009-2010 Rex Ryan era, or the Bills. during this period, you know, they get undone. They come undone at the hands of the Patriots. And those days were supposed to be past.
Right.
They weren't supposed to be back here yet. And they are.
Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston with Gresh and Kiefer on the Harbor One Hotline. He's with us each and every Wednesday talking Patriots football. Let's talk about some of these other teams in the AFC, Tommy, because normally we focus so much on the Patriots and the opponent. But with the bye week here, I'm curious for your thoughts on the state of the Tennessee Titans right now, who do have some difficult games here down the stretch.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about the Titans is that, you know, they have to get a little bit, you know, put them on the couch. I think they're more stable than a team like the Bills. You know, you look at Tennessee, and yeah, they've lost games, and the way they've lost games, especially to the Patriots. They lost to the Texans. They do have the Jaguars coming up, coming off of this bye week. So they're going to be able to get right against them. But, you know, they have the Steelers, Dolphins, Texans among that group, and then they're also hosting the Niners. So they're not in a bad spot, I don't think. I mean, what's fascinating to me is the number of teams that we've been focused on all year long as being good teams that are on the outside looking in. Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, the Raiders, they're outside the playoff picture right now. You know, Cleveland Browns, Denver, you're exactly right. I'm actually looking at the conference standings right now. It's, you know, the Chargers, Bengals, and Bills are the wild card teams. What's interesting about the Patriots, when you look at the conference records, which is going to be the second tiebreaker if you didn't have if you didn't face them head to head, the Patriots are 7-1. No other team even has two losses. Everybody else has three or more. The Patriots are so far in the driver's seat now because they have the head to head win over Tennessee and they have the head to head win over Buffalo. Even if Buffalo evens it up, the Patriots are going to have a better division. The Patriots could have a better division record and will definitely have a better conference record.
It's pretty crazy. Speaking of crazy, Tom, we were just talking about Brady a little earlier, and with a handful of games remaining, he is the odds-on favorite to be the MVP once again at the age 44. He could potentially knock the Bills out of division contention here, and who knows, maybe even win another Super Bowl, but more realistically, he's going to win an MVP at 44.
Yeah, it's wild, too, and I think a lot was chalked up to the notion that, hey, he went to a ready-made team. What do you expect in terms of kind of dismissing his success? He's done it again this year, and he's done it with Gronkowski, and Antonio Brown's now out, and the running game has lagged, and it is his team. It's astounding how Belichick and Brady stand astride the NFL, and I thought it was really interesting, too, to hear Belichick speaking about Brady's Man in the Arena series. You know, a couple of years ago, we asked him about the TB12 cookbook or whatever the hell it was. He's like, yeah, I'm all set on that. I don't really need to take a look at that. And now I think because of the closure those guys got in September, early October, actually, the conversation they had and their understanding that as ugly and dysfunctional as the period of time from 2017 through early 2020 was, it's a very amicable and happy divorce, and they hug and they kiss and they hold hands. And I like it better that way. There's no denying what happened. This was not fallacy. It wasn't fiction, but they're both smart enough to understand and appreciate that the divorce had to happen for the two to get what they wanted.
Which
he did a field cleanse and Belichick to reboot, which is what he loves to do.
Would you say Brady and Belichick are like Bruce Willis and Demi Moore? I think they vacation together still. Pretty nice.
Thank you. You're exactly right.
Thank you. You can use that. You can use that on TV.
Well, I was going to say they're okay.
I'm going to have to Google that to get the ins and outs of their relationship.
Oh, yeah. They would both be with other people, and they would still vacation together. They really made the divorce thing work for them. They had a great relationship after the fact.
And they had kids, which does force you to stay together, but not like that.
No, but you don't need to be bringing the boyfriend and girlfriend along. They were really together.
It's a little weird. Tommy Curran joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. Tommy, thanks a bunch, friend. Enjoy the off weekend, if there is one.
All right. I'll miss you guys on Sunday.
There you go. See you, friend. There you go. Thank you. Tommy's going to have to go Google that one because that's a good analogy.
That's a great divorced couple that is still friends to this day.
Yeah.
At least publicly. Maybe they hate each other off camera. But
well, let's put it this way. If they do hate each other and they pulled this off, that
actors.
Is even,
they're
oh, my
actors.
God. But yeah, that would be something. Considering the divorce can get a little ugly. Ask men out there.
Well, speaking of couples, we didn't even mention Ben Affleck, J-Lo at the Celtics game last night, looking pretty cozy in the front row.
Yeah, if you go to @ShimeTime on Twitter, you see use of meme there as well
there
in
go.
Terms of
there
mentioning meats and cheese and things like that. I don't know if you saw this, but did you know Michael Jordan has his own golf course? And they're having their member tournament this weekend? Wait until you see
the list. Is sure, I'm sure.
Oh my God, this list is insane. We'll tell you about it next.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.